Welcome everyone to a very special episode of the Damage Report. I am John Iderola. It is the holidays, and so I'm very lucky to have Brett Ehrlich in the studio for what is far more than just a regular show where people drink copious amounts of water. No, this is a special episode. It's not just the holidays, it's also the end of the first year of the Damage Report. So we want to take a look back at the year and do our first ever awards show. We're going to do some awards, some superlatives, some silly, some serious, some we decided, some you guys decided by responding to our polls on Twitter. We've got a ton of awards and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I feel a little overdressed, John.
You look way fancier than usual.
I haven't worn this tuxedo, and for those of you listening to the podcast, I am in a tuxedo. I haven't worn this tuxedo in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lot bigger around the necular region.
Yeah,
as
that
those
happens.
Who are watching can see, by virtue of the fact that like the collar seems to just
that happens
poke out.
So we will share the award for tightest collars.
Yep.
But as I said, lots of awards to get to, and actually the first section is one that you named.
Oh yeah, that's true. So this is our first ever awards show, and we would like to start off by rewarding some of the dumbest things that happened this year. Also, John and I both watched The Office, so for those of you who follow my Twitter, you already know that the name of this section of the show is The Dumdies.
You were able to get video live from the White House.
Oh, and for those of you listening to the podcast, that was a bunch of chimpanzees answering phones dressed in office wear.
Yes. So what's the first dumdy?
As it is a dumdy, I would like to give the award for the best impression of Dwight Schrute from The Office. For those of you not familiar with The Office, there is one episode during which Dwight brings a gun to the office. Here is a refresher for those not familiar.
Dwight, no gun, okay? Don't make us call Joe.
Someone get me a banana. Sorry I freaked you guys out.
It's a real moment from The Office, which we can use because we're using it to compare something that is newsworthy from the year and put it into context. So there you go. And the best impression of Dwight from The Office was done on March 1st by Jesse Randall Davidson, a teacher in Dalton, Georgia, who brought a gun to school. And yes, it's true, a high school social studies teacher who fired a gun inside his Georgia classroom in February, hitting a window and alarming students and his staff. He was punished for that. And not only did he bring a gun to school and fire it in the room, he looks exactly like Dwight Schrute.
Oh my God. But wait, which one is Dwight Schrute?
Dwight Schrute is on the right. Rainn Wilson, the actor, grew a beard, which makes it actually quite the same. And the reason this makes sense in the full context of the year in news is everyone's saying when they're defending, when they're proposing solutions to school shootings, they're saying, well, what if we arm the teachers?
Yeah.
This teacher was armed.
And by the way, that was not the only teacher who fired a gun in school. There was another one, if you remember, shot the ceiling and shrapnel sprayed the students.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so there was actually competition in this category.
Did he look as much like Dwight Schrute, John?
More. It was Rainn Wilson. No, it was not. Okay, the good first dumdy. What's our second?
The next award is the most fittingly named person award, or fittingly named friends award. And that goes to, yes, you guessed it, Brett Kavanaugh's friends, PJ, Tobin, and Squee. Because, of course, he had friends named PJ, Tobin,
and Squee.
And Squee.
Not one could have just a standard name. And the thing was, you had to hear those names over and over and over and over for weeks.
And the best part about it is during the trial, or not the trial, during the hearing, he used those names to evoke some kind of like nostalgia and in using it that way, affection for these people and seriousness most of all. Also, before you move on, John, the bad choice was the sparkling water because I've been fighting back burps since we started.
Most likely to burp in 2019. He was using those names as if he was referencing like an early season of Stranger Things. Hey, you remember those kids and the adventures they used to get up to? No, but the thing is, like, I know what adventures PJ Tobin and Squee got up to. They were crimes. Yeah. They were crimes.
Yeah. What is Squee short for? Did we ever find that out?
Switzerland? It turns out, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Anyway, what's up next?
Next up is the Don't Call It a Comeback Award. This is for a comeback so short-lived that you literally just can't call it a comeback at a certain point. And that goes to Roseanne Barr.
That was a pretty easy one, but she earned it. She really earned it.
She earned it. For those of you not familiar with what happened in that situation, she tweeted out, "The Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ." And the equals VJ refers to Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah.
She then followed up with some pretty amazing defenses. And I think that's what really solidifies this as an extra special comeback that wasn't. Mm-hmm. First, she tried to say why she referred to Valerie Jarrett as such. She said, "Rod Serling wrote Planet of the Apes. It was about anti-Semitism. That is why what my tweet referred to, the anti-Semitism of the Iran deal. Low IQ people can think whatever they want."
That doesn't make any sense. What? I'm actually impressed because I had not seen that part of her defense.
Oh, really?
What does that have to do with Valerie Jarrett?
Because it's not Valerie
Jarrett.
She's
just involved
Jarrett,
in foreign policy? Like,
it's the Planet of the Apes aspect of it. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Almost as ridiculous as we do have a video for you of the well thought out other response that was had to this situation. Take a look.
"I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white!"
Whew. Well, okay. The thing is, you can only have been doing one thing, making an allusion to the anti-Semitism of a piece of uniquely American literature, or you thought the bee was white. Only one of those two things can actually happen. Hey, look at that B-roll, nice. Anyway, yeah, very bad comeback. And the interesting thing is, we had, who's the home improvement guy?
The home improvement guy is Tim Allen.
He had a comeback this year. He's a conservative guy, conservative show. He's not apparently as crazy, and so it's working for him.
His show has been on for a number of years.
But it was canceled.
It was canceled
from
one network and brought to another.
Yes.
Good for him, really.
Good for him, and not good for her. Not good for her at all.
Not good for her.
Okay.
There is more to this saga. This is the Busiest Body Award. There are a lot of busybodies out there, a lot to choose from. And these are people who really should have minded their own business, but rather took it upon themselves to police folks based, it seemed, largely on the color of their skin. We had a lot of nominees. There was Barbecue Becky. There was Permit Patty. Mm-hmm. There was Pool Patrol Paul. These were people who I had a lot of trouble distinguishing who was better. And the award goes to the one that kind of started it all, which was Barbecue Becky. Mm-hmm. Here is a refresher.
There's a charcoal grill in the park here.
No, it's not actually. I just looked at the map. It says this is a designated barbecue area.
No, not for a charcoal grill. No charcoal grills are allowed.
She made that up. There's no way she was like,
I've checked the regulations, subsection D. Probably not.
There's an amazing bunch of video on this about the 911 call that came out afterwards. The video made that kind of summarizes the whole incident. Starts with Barbecue Becky crying, sobbing, because she obviously is the victim here. But here's a little excerpt that I found. The 911 officer or dispatcher that responded, he goes, "What's the panic over a barbecue? I don't understand." and then follows up with, "So why are you in an argument with these people? Can you walk away?
Are you free? Are they holding you down, ma'am?"
The 911 dispatcher is an expert on emergencies and sees them all the time. So when they give you an answer like that, it's time to kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's back from it.
And honestly, I wonder if this is the worst because, look, she became a meme, you know, for this sort of activity. But also all the other people who did it later, like they knew that this was out there, that we're not interested in this sort of busybody behavior anymore, but they still did it. But I do want to give her at least a little bit of credit. She helped to make clear to people that this sort of stuff has been going on forever. And she finally made it very obvious, very in people's face. So hopefully we can try to address it as a society.
Yep.
Yeah.
The runner-up Permit Patty was hilarious. She had to resign afterwards as the CEO of a cannabis products company. Mm-hmm. which means she probably should have been more chill about this.
Probably. I think a good runner-up would be the woman who called 911 on a whale.
That's right.
Look it up if you haven't seen that one. Anyway, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, more dumbies for you.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Welcome back to the first ever year-end awards show on The Damage Report as we continue with the dumbies. And it's the perfect intro for the next three awards, actually.
And they are all Trump-based awards. The first one he actually sent in to us himself.
Really?
It is the award for the biggest traitor. Trump's biggest traitor, and there's a lot to choose from in this respect, so I was excited. Oh, it's autocorrect. Turns out it's just autocorrect.
It's autocorrect. Huh. Okay.
Interesting.
I mean, I feel like he could have used autocorrect on that one.
Trying to figure out, and his penmanship is impeccable, by the way.
Yeah, it's better than his signature. I'll give him that.
My God, it's so weird that it casts a shadow. I made that, sorry. Way to sell yourself up forever, Brett.
He sent it in.
He sent it in himself. Yeah, so that was it. For those of you not familiar with his autocorrect fiascos from the year, there is the smocking gun that really is still smocking away. He sent a tweet, "Democrats can't find a smocking gun tying to the Trump campaign to Russia after James Comey's testimony. No smocking gun, no collusion." He said it twice.
Yeah. And look, the thing is that what's so insidious about the autocorrect is it just keeps shadowing him. So with Scott Free, he was just trying to say someone got off scot-free, but now we're looking for Mr. Free. Okay, it's an issue that comes up time and again.
It wasn't just that, because someone also, when he said scot-free with two T's, someone photoshopped some Scott tissue on the image of him throwing like paper products at Hurricane Maria survivors.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's not just what it corrects, it's also when it lets our president down. Let's not forget when he needed autocorrect most with the Covfefe incident.
Yep.
And where was autocorrect then?
It's been
traitor.
A year and a half since Covfefe.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it, we were starting to forget it.
Yeah.
And got the smocking gun.
We don't know what he meant.
Okay. And that brings us really to Trump's tweet that he actually meant of the year. There's a lot to choose from. He tweets all the time. Do you have any favorite tweets from throughout the year, John?
I mean, lately, the past month or so, smocking gun was pretty good. I mean, I remember the one that ended with, "Do something!" Which is always, like, if you want to express that you're in control, grounded, do something! That's probably going to be one of my favorite for the rest of my life.
This one is actually quite similar to the all caps, "Do something." It's a little more simplistic, if you can fathom that. It is treason, ? All caps. That is a loud question.
You don't often see the all caps question without the exclamation point, which I'm a fan of.
The best part is, you know, like, this is pretty much sums up most of his tweets throughout the year.
It does.
Treason It was about some New York Times op-ed that got written.
It was the mole, right?
Yes.
So there was the mole from inside the White House.
And he called it treason. But really, with every single person that he has encountered this year, he has wanted to call treason.
Exactly. And what I loved about that was, look, he was mad that there was someone, you know, mole inside the White House. I understand that. Lots of people would. It's probably not treason to talk to the New York Times. But even so, he tweeted out the perfect thing for people who despise his presidency to just respond with yes. And we will be going back to that tweet probably sometime in the next few months.
And the final Trump affiliated dumb D of the year, it is the most 2018 moment of 2018. Mm-hmm. This, much like that tweet, summarized all Trump's tweets into one. There is one moment that really stands out for all of us that really summarizes every terrible thing that happened in 21. Take a look.
What I need Saturday Night Live to improve on, or what I need the liberals to improve on, is if he don't look good, we don't look good. This is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes, the best factories, and we have to make our core be in power. I love this guy right here. Let me give this guy a hug right here.
That was the White House meeting that we deserve as a people.
It's so amazing, because not only that, he's like, it's called the Yeezy effect. It was part of a meeting that had a manic episode, really, from Kanye. Mm-hmm. It then triggered all these moments where people on the right, all these media darlings from the right, started sidling up to Kanye.
Briefly.
And then instantly, he was like, I think my message has been co-opted by the evil organization.
Yeah, and he was not wrong. Yeah. He was not wrong. But yeah, that meeting, I mean, it was peak 2018. And the interesting thing is, we might in a few years have something that's peak 2021 when you have that same meeting, but they're sitting on opposite sides of the desk.
Oh, God. God help us.
It could happen. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we just had an election. This year was characterized by the midterm election. And we're going to give awards for the best, worst, and best worst political ads of the year. Welcome back to the awards, everybody. Those were the dumb D's. We'll have more for you next year. But let's transition now to serious stuff. We just had midterm elections, and obviously we spent months across the country being bombarded by political ads. Some snoozers, but there were some standouts as well.
So we're going to go through this in order. We're going to do best ad, we're going to do worst ad, and we're going to do best worst ad. Because those are three distinct categories of ads for those of you who follow the political process. Mm-hmm. The first up, I want to announce the runner-up in the best ad competition. David Brill was running against Paul Gosar, and enlisted Paul Gosar's entire family to support their brother's opponent. Take a look.
My name is Tim Gosar.
David Gosar.
Grace Gosar.
Joan Gosar.
Gaston Gosar.
Jennifer Gosar.
Paul Gosar is my brother.
My brother.
And I endorse Dr. Brill.
Dr. Brill.
Wholeheartedly endorse Dr. David Brill for Congress.
I'm Dr. David Brill, and I approve this message.
Yes, you do, sir.
The only thing that would have made it better if it was, I'm Dr. Brill, and I support this message.
Yep.
That was brutal.
Oh my God. So that did not win.
No,
even
no,
though
but
it was
good.
Absolutely fantastic. Instead, we turn to the Beto O'Rourke Ted Cruz race, and an outside group known as the Fire Ted Pack ran this amazing attack ad on Ted Cruz.
This is Ted Cruz. That's him phone banking for Donald Trump after Trump called his wife ugly. Look at him. What kind of a man does that? Oh yeah, Trump also said his father was probably a murderer. He made calls on behalf of Trump after being unmanned by him. You're looking at the saddest man in America, Ted Cruz 2018. Pathetic.
Here is what I think happened. Everybody's very excited about this award show. It's the first ever Damage Report show. And Cenk heard it was gonna happen, didn't like that we didn't pick his ad, and he put it in the folder to be played.
Total Cenk move.
Total Cenk move.
Totally stole the award. There's really-
I guess he gets it now.
We can't do anything about it.
Nope. Best ad, Jenks.
Just like the rigged Hostmates show.
Exactly, which you've seen by now. That's great. Well, you know what, Fire Ted people, screw you. You just got bested.
That's amazing. We move on to our worst ad. Our worst ad is this ad. It is Duncan Hunter's hit piece on Amar Campanajar, who you might not notice from the context clues here, is Middle Eastern in descent.
Amar Campanajar is working to infiltrate Congress. He's used three different names to hide his family's ties to terrorism. His grandfather masterminded the Munich Olympic massacre. His father said they deserved to die.
A Palestinian-Mexican millennial Democrat named Amar Campanajar doesn't get his support from the people of San Diego.
He's being supported by CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a well-orchestrated plan.
Amar Campanajar, a risk we can't ignore.
I'm Duncan Hunter, and I approve this message.
My God.
It's not.
Even the soldier thing at the end.
Most of that's just straight up lies.
Yeah.
And then except for the fact that Duncan Hunter does own that outfit.
He does own that outfit. But I would say recently he's probably better known for just drinking a lot in DC, not so much the military thing. By the way, I want to give credit not to the person who made that ad, but to the person online who made and sold the template that they put their little videos into for that ad. By the way, that ad was not just disrespectful to, you know, the Democratic side. It was disrespectful to the Republican side too, because he thinks his voters are so stupid that he can say Amar Campanajar changed his name three times to hide his affiliations and settled on the, you know, classically American name of Amar Campanajar. How little do you respect your voters? Anyway, Amar's a great guy, and that was one of the worst ads. There were others that were pretty bad too.
It just sucks that Duncan Hunter ended up winning. Not only that, but he also was embroiled in some kind of financial campaign finance disaster, and he blamed his wife, essentially saying, you know how women are with money.
Yeah, and him and his wife are facing over 60 indictments for effectively embezzling donations that were given to them.
What a total
sweetheart. Again, disrespecting the voters.
And now we move on to the best worst ad of the cycle. This is the runner-up. I really wanted to give it to this person, but it's just not quite as good. Don Blankenship was running for Senate in West Virginia and does not remember. He does not know that the adjective form of China is Chinese.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars.
So good.
What is that?
That's his second video. The first one, he said China people once, and rather than say, yeah, that is not how you say it, he's like, I'm going to say it twice. I'll say it twice. I'll get him.
Swamp Captain Mitch. And then at the end of one of the abs, he just calls him Ditch Cocaine Mitch. He doesn't say why he's calling him Cocaine Mitch. He just calls him Cocaine Mitch.
But that did not win.
Wait, hold on. Really, one more thing.
Okay.
If you remember this guy not for the ad, you might remember him for presiding over a mining disaster that killed 29 people. That was obviously brought up during the campaign. And he very suavely responded to that by mentioning it in one of his ads, saying, they say I blew up the mine. Because my mine blew up. And he said it in an ad.
I wonder
but
if
that's
like,
not the worst. That's not the
that's
best
not
worst?
The worst ad. Just in the shooting of that one, I wonder if they're just like, should we tell him he's terrible?
They know.
There's not a lot of opportunities to make films in West Virginia,
exactly.
So we're just gonna go with it.
You take it.
The best worst ad of them all came from Florida, where Ron DeSantis really wanted to kiss up to Donald Trump, and so he made a video where he exploited his kids.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, you're fired. I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
I just thought you should know the hell that is my waking life. That was awesomely awful.
I mean, it's so sad.
He won after doing that.
He won after doing that and then saying, like, don't want to monkey this up.
Yep.
And saying about, and then during that whole stretch of the campaign, there were racist robocalls and everything, and he still won.
There's just something. It was close.
It's so terrible. Like reading to his kid. Like even more cruel than that is the outfit he made his kid wear, which is like a matching suspender situation. I don't know.
That's
true. That takes home the prize of best worst ad of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so the worst ad, best worst ad, they both won.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Never before happened in Damage Report award show history. Okay, with that, we are gonna take a short break. When we come back, some notable people, groups, and events, more awards to come. Welcome back to the awards, everybody. John and Brett, it's such a fun, happy time of year, mostly because of the music.
Yeah, way to go. I didn't select that. Is that Bart? Bart just did one of these.
He's
leads me to believe
very
it was,
good at
it
his
was
job.
Jacori who chose it.
Best music chooser, whoever it is that did it. Okay, let's jump into the big awards. We're almost to the biggest awards, but these are big ones too. So first of all, the most likely to change the world award. There are actually a lot of ones that we consider this year, big social movements and individuals. But at the end of the day, I think it's fairly obvious who deserved this one. And that would
Donald
be no. Okay. It was close. You got second. It is actually the Parkland kids, the activists from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. They did such an amazing job after weathering an unimaginable tragedy to immediately take hold of it in a way that no one else either has or has been allowed to after a tragedy like this, and then to keep themselves, you know, present in the media to challenge senators to debates, to fight back against horrendous conspiracy theories and constant attacks against them. And they set up their marches and rallies all over the country. They pushed for legislation in a number of different areas. They fundamentally altered the way people see the NRA. They've caused businesses to pull their gun sales. They've done so much, and so they deserve this award, most likely to change the world.
In a lot of movements throughout history, it is students who make a big difference, but not all those students go through something as specifically traumatic.
Yeah.
Affiliated with that movement. A lot of them are just the ones that are most vocal, least beaten down by the system. You have to add to the level of impressiveness of these children that they went through a shooting and no friends who died.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, the specific nature of the of formidability of the opponent that they go up against and their ability to knock down senators.
Yeah.
Representatives, presidents who tried to fight against them and knock them not just away but into submission and to ignore the entire situation altogether.
Yeah, the view of the NRA has changed. Their financing is in shambles. Lots of sitting politicians won't take on the NRA, but these kids were willing to do so, and they continue to do so to this day. And God only knows what will come from them in future years. Now that said, for these big awards, we also wanted to know what you thought. So I polled all of you on Twitter. Who is the people's choice most likely to change the world? And there was actually some disagreement with us here at TDR. You guys voted for incoming Congress people, actually, with 49% of the vote. The March for Our Lives is there at 16, the Me Too movement at 14, and the Sunrise movement, which has been making, you know, big headlines lately, at 21% of the vote, but almost half coming to the incoming Congress people. I mean, clearly people are thinking of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, a number of others that have been doing far more than incoming freshman classes, I think, typically do or are allowed to do.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, you had the Tea Party on the other side that was this incoming class of people who are like gung-ho on things. I just like these incoming freshmen more. Mm-hmm. They aren't problem children.
That's true. Yes, I much prefer them. So that was your award. Congratulations to those Congress people finally getting recognition.
Yeah.
Here at least.
I'm excited for them. I'm very excited for this next class
do.
To see, because as was reported, I guess, a couple weeks ago, they have gotten concessions. That wing of the party, mm-hmm. bolstered by the popularity of the incoming class, have already gotten concessions from the establishment.
On Congress. Big stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we expect much more from them in this next year. So next, we had our midterm elections. And there were some losses, but those people still have political futures. And so we have an award that we're starting, first time ever that we're giving this award. It is most likely to rise again from the ashes like the Phoenix of Legend Award.
And that one,
we had a big conversation about this because there were a bunch of people who it could be. But there was one who certainly seems like he's not waiting. He's going for it right now. So that is going to be Beto O'Rourke. And now this does not mean that this is the one I want to rise from the ashes like the Phoenix of Legend. But he is already talking about running for the presidency. And again, this is coming after losing to Ted Cruz.
There's a lot of comparison of Beto to Obama. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just in terms of cadence mm-hmm. and like, you know, skull shape to limb ratio, mm-hmm. I think. the difference is that Obama won. And as much as I like Beto O'Rourke,
yeah.
Obama did the winning there.
He did win.
You got to win.
Yeah. Well, a lot easier for a Democrat to win in that state that time around than to win in Texas ever, let alone this time against Ted Cruz.
Yes, I but totally understand well. That, but I do not want like an Adlai Stevenson mm-hmm. affable loser situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we can afford that. So that was most likely, if I was going to choose mine, that I would want to rise again from the ashes like the Phoenix of Legend, I would say Andrew Gillum probably.
Yes,
or Ben Jealous. Ben Jealous is great too, but those are two. Okay, with that said, I want to turn into a slightly different sort of category. So you know how like at the Oscars, they'll do like a look back on the people who've passed in the industry so that you won't forget them? I want to do something kind of like this. Like that, but for the damage that we talk about on a daily basis. So these are five people and events that we really, really hope that you don't forget. Things that were big news when they happened, but so much happens that we tend to forget about these sorts of things. So the first, of course, is the family separation crisis that our country both went through and is continuing to go through. You're seeing there, this is recent reporting, by the way, families still being separated at the border months after the zero tolerance policy was reversed, months after there was a lot of media coverage on the topic. By the way, some 350 children separated from their migrant parents this summer have still yet to be reunited despite a July deadline. About half of those kids are supposedly on track for reunification, meaning that half are not. So while we have sort of moved on in terms of media coverage, this crisis is still very much an issue.
Yep. And it's very tempting to move on to other issues because like Sessions is gone and Sessions was part of implementing this kind of thing. And there's, yeah. you know, new attorney general situations developing. But like it is so important to not forget how outrageous this was
yeah.
because it's just the nature of people. It's just you get used to stuff.
Yeah.
You just get used to stuff. And that outrage that you once felt that motivated you to ask for change, sometimes you just end up acclimating yourself and that desire to ask for change just completely goes away and you yeah. can't do it.
Yeah. We more than anything else as a people, we normalize things. Number two, a person or event that we really, really hope you don't forget about, that would be Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. That battle over that seat for the Supreme Court was huge. And as the right wing fought back against the Me Too movement and wanted to reassure themselves that no, the worst sorts of men can still do just fine, we experienced disgusting threats against her, attacks against her. All while being told that it was sad that his life was being ruined. The interesting thing that a recent news, Ford is still receiving death threats and Kavanaugh is back to coaching basketball. So he's on the Supreme Court, he's coaching basketball, she still can't go home. Whose life was really ruined?
How's Squee doing, by the way?
I don't think he's doing okay.
Just really quickly, I wonder, I just want to point out that people kind of forgot about Christine Blasey Ford during Kavanaugh's testimony.
Yeah, that's true.
After being so moved during hers, they switched to his, and it's like, it's not so bad.
He went with the I'm really crazy strategy, and it did distract people. Third thing, that would be the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Not going to say as much about this just because we do continue to talk about this on a constant basis here on the Damage Report, but as of recently, Turkey and UN still in talks to investigate Khashoggi's murder. We still don't know everything that we need to know about what happened there. It was absolutely disgusting, so let's not let that fall by the wayside. Fourth thing, and it's crazy that I never see anyone talk about this. It wasn't that long ago that one of Trump's biggest fans sent pipe bombs to all of his political opponents, scared the hell out of everybody, tried to assassinate the people that Trump attacks in his tweets and at his rallies. And that was big news up until the election, and then everybody just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, he's still gonna face charges, Cesar Sayoc, but that was pretty bad. And we're the mob. That's what I was hearing at the time, the Democrats are the mob.
It's just easy if you can convince people that your terrible actions and incitements to violence don't actually translate to violence. So if you can stick to that and then distract with other things in the news, yeah. it's easier to accomplish that goal.
Yeah, I agree. Final thing, this is number five thing, people or event that I really, really hope you don't forget from this year. That would be two things actually. It was the UN report on climate change, followed very closely about a week later by the US's report on climate change. The absolutely devastating situation that we find ourselves in, the damage that will be wrought on our economy, on our coastlines, on our population's ability to produce food and all of those things. This is major and it's generating some political activity of late, but it is very easy to move on from environmental news. People love to do that, but this was gigantic. Please don't forget about the size of the threat that we face.
And when it's with climate, it doesn't feel like there's an immediate thing going on, but just remember that every time you see a giant wildfire, that is the immediate effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and when there's drought and all of that, the mudslides, it gets you really coming and going on those. Okay, so don't forget about those things. Also, don't forget to come back on the other side of this break. We're gonna be doing our biggest awards of the night, of the year, in fact. We're gonna be giving awards for Garbage Person of the Year and who, after all of this, actually won 2018 after this. And now, without further ado, we turn to the four biggest awards of the night of the year in the main event. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so we've got four awards here. We've got the good award and the bad award, both from what we've decided and also the people's choice for both of those. Why don't we start off with the bad and get to the good? First up, Garbage Person of the Year. Okay, so every once in a while we've done a garbage person, not as often as we intended to, but these are people who stand out for being really, really awful. Either cruel or disingenuous or whatever. Okay, we've had a number. And so we thought about this. There's a lot of garbage people in America, it turns out, like 33% of them. I'm kidding, not that quite that many.
Deplorable job.
Deplorables. Anyway, look, I would love to shock you with some name that you haven't been thinking of or something, but this one kind of chose itself. The garbage person of 2018, Donald Trump.
Yay!
Really not shocking anybody. Aww. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. There's temptations on, like, Tucker Carlson said a lot of terrible stuff, like late charge by like Ann Coulter.
Oh yeah.
But really a consistent amount of, almost kind of have to hand it to him. Mm-hmm. The amount of times where you're like, don't get us into a nuclear war. Please don't exactly. Do that. Remember when you sided against Mohammed bin Salman, against the American interest and like that of the developed world not to allow the murder of journalists?
Yeah. It's a perfect storm because usually you have like the substantive policy awfulness, and then you have people like maybe Tucker Carlson who are like, they're expressing terrible things, their ideology and all that. But Donald Trump really is the marriage of both of those things. Like whatever the opposite of chocolate and the opposite of peanut butter are, you put those together, that's Donald Trump. The analogy doesn't make any sense, but you get what I'm saying.
No, it does.
You got family separation, demonizing the press, calling them the enemy of the people, Jamal Khashoggi, as you mentioned, attacking Christine Blasey Ford. The constant lying, the laughable lying. And there's nothing else to be done. He's the garbage person.
So, yes. And I don't want the without him, there are no thems at this point.
Yeah.
They created him.
Yeah.
But now they are doing an impression of their Frankenstein monster. And it's just this weird self-sustaining cycle.
Jeanine Pirro wouldn't matter if there was no Donald Trump. She wouldn't be
doing
an impression.
Speak for yourself, John. She matters to me.
Okay.
She's a judge. You must respect her.
Let's turn to the people now. So I asked you guys on Twitter who the garbage person should be. And I asked you for suggestions. And then I put it together in a Twitter poll. And there were four people in the poll. There was Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, and other. Okay. And let's see. Maybe you guys disagree. It turns out no. People's choice, garbage person of the year, Donald Trump with 65% of the vote. Brett Kavanaugh got to 22, he did pretty well. Tucker Carlson is probably gonna be disappointed by that showing. He really tried this year. But no, we're all pretty much agree at this point. It is Donald Trump. There's really nothing to be done.
Way to go, America and the world.
By the way, a lot of votes on that. Man.
How many votes did you get?
5,700. Not me.
Holy,
on the poll.
Holy garbage votes. Did we get.
So it's a representative sample of all of America scientifically procured. It is not. Okay, so that's the bad one. But look, this entire night has been building up to the big award. We don't have, best picture or... Is it best album at the Grammys? Is that the best?
Well, there's record of the year and album of the year and song of the
year.
What does that mean? And well, you have to go research it every year to remember what the differences are.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. But we have one award here. It was almost best, but we landed on who won 2018. Just so excited to get talking about it, but good intro, Brett. So we're gonna talk about the runners up, but let's just put it out there. Who won 2018? There were some great ones, but it is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez winning in 2018 and winning as 2018, really. She did a great job. She, not only like inspired people in her run, going up against crazy odds and taking down an extremely powerful Democrat, but she did so while not hiding one bit of who she is, either personally or politically, advocating for the positions not only that we agree with, but also that it seems like America really could use. Then once she wins the general election, she gives us unprecedented access to what goes on during the orientation while also challenging the leadership and inspiring newfound support for a Green New Deal, advocating for Medicare for all and a number of other issues, inspiring certainly a number of candidacies that will come like the next time around. She killed it.
She also, one of the things that to me makes it so special is she appeared on this show with John Iadarola the final day of campaigning.
Mm-hmm. Before the actual election.
Trying hard to get this interview. She it was like, she's never going to take time out for this.
Mm-hmm.
She's so busy. And guess what she had time to do?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you, John Iadarola.
And she was awesome. And we came out of that. I mean, obviously, we're familiar with it, but like talking to her, she was so real, so authentic, way more than I am, way more.
Yeah.
And that came through, I think. Her advocacy for the issues during that interview, the fact that she had just come back from the border, from seeing the situation with family separation that was going on right then, it was absolutely awesome. And she has done even better since then. And unlike some other like strong progressive candidates, she doesn't like back down from a fight. When people challenge her, either fairly or unfairly, she fights back in a way that shows that she does have a great grasp of the issues. She's not backing down despite the fact that she's young and generally freshman congresspeople are taught to sort of just sit in the back and learn a little bit for a few years. She's going right for it.
Because that town is designed to be terrifying, not just from the organizational structure and all the people that are there that have spent so much time and money trying to solidify their control, but also just to walk around D.C., even though you come from New York, to walk around D.C. and see those physical structures that are on the money, and then you walk into them, has got to be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do back down. But I think what she relies on, it seems, is her authentic voice, knowing who she is, and being able to do that. Yeah, it absolutely inspires other people to do. If not the same, then at least speak in their own authentic voice and not be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, I do have to admit the possibility that I am biased because I've, spoken, to her. She's my personal hero. So maybe I'm in a bubble, okay, in choosing her. So I turn to you, the audience of the Damage Report. Who do you think won 2018? And decisively, you've chosen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with 71% of the vote. And by the way, beating out, I put in big movements there. I mean, Sunrise Movement only got 1%, which is sad for me because I care about the environment. But March for Our Lives was gigantic and influential. Bernie Sanders, she demolished Bernie Sanders. So I think a well-earned vote. I think you've got a couple, more than 1,000 votes there. So again, nationally representative, it's not. So it looks like we agree. The people, the hosts, she definitely won 2018.
Did you enjoy 2018 or did you have a bad time?
It was a difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably better overall rather than 2017. I think that 2017 is a little bit better because there's not the election, which was the worst experience of my life. And then 2018, you know, we have the election. And it looks like things are going to go well. So it was not bad. What about you?
The blue wave, I enjoyed it. I got to work on this show.
And I'm very glad that you joined us.
Oh,
so much stronger for you. Anyway, thank you to everybody who watched not only this awards show, but the show all year. It is awesome to have you in the audience. We appreciate you every single day. We'll be back next year with much, much more for you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.